Let us pray. Speak to us, O God. Your words of comfort, your words of assurance, words that remind us that no matter how uncertain things seem, one thing is for certain. You are with us on the way. Guide us through your word this day and remind us that your promises are true. We ask this and all things in the name of Christ, our shepherd and companion on the way. Amen. Four simple words. Do not be afraid. Does anybody know how many times it shows up in our Bible between the Hebrew and Greek scriptures? Anybody know? Any guesses? A lot. 50. Any? It's higher than 50. 100? It's actually pretty close to 100. There's some debate on actually how many times these exact four words show up, but in the New International Version, it's 70 times. But the sentiment where God discourages fear in other ways is in the hundreds of instances. Not just 100, but hundreds of times where God either says, do not be afraid, fear not, do not live in fear. Hundreds of times that God discourages fear in our lives. Basically, if someone asks, if they ask you, what book, what chapter, what verse is that time where God says to us to not be afraid? You could answer pretty much anywhere that you accidentally open the Bible to. Pretty much anywhere that you do that, you can find God discouraging fear in us. What do you think that means? Why do you think that God would say this literally hundreds of times across the lives and generations of God's people? Do you think it's important? Yeah. As a parent who never gets tired of repeating to his children not to run on the stairs, not to jump from one piece of furniture to another, not to take that corner too sharp in those socks on that floor, basically 100 different ways to tell my kids to be safe. It's something that I think is important, something I think that they should know for their own health. So yes, I think that when God says hundreds of times to not be afraid, that we should listen, that there's something important being said there. Just like us telling our kids to be safe because we don't want them to hurt themselves, God tells us, tells humanity over and over again, do not be afraid. Because God doesn't want that for us. Because God knows that fear hurts us. That's what fear does. Sure, a healthy fear of heights keeps us from standing on the edges of balconies for fun, and a healthy fear of lightning keeps us from golfing in a storm. But true fear that keeps us from living, from engaging with the world and our neighbors, is debilitating, degrading. Fear of the unknown, fear of tomorrow, stops us from living, from exploring, from experiencing God's creation and the lives that we have been blessed with. The last thing that God wants for us is to live in fear. And so it is no small wonder that God would strive to get that message across as clear and as often as possible. And all of this has been prompted by today's reading from Genesis 15, the very first time in the Bible where God discourages fear, where God says, do not be afraid. God didn't say it to Adam and Eve, though their time outside the garden would be very different from the time inside. God didn't say it to Noah, who had to deal with a flooded world and all those animals. The first time that God says the words, "Do not be afraid," or conveys the sentiment of discouraging fear, is with Abram, a man without a home, a man without a child, a man seemingly without a future. You see, Abram was a man who lived a life of uncertainty. At the beginning of his story, he is living in his father's house, but God calls him out, promising that Abram would be the father of a great nation. Since then, his path has been winding, to say the least. He has no home. He and his partner Sarai have no children. His future was up in the air, which is where we are today. After rescuing his nephew Lot, you'll notice at the first of the reading it says, "And after these things," here's the things. After rescuing his nephew Lot from the enemies of Sodom, Abram also refuses any gifts that the king of Sodom would give him, wanting all that he had to come from God's abundance, from God's promise. But even after this declaration to the king, one offered in confidence that God would be with him, that God would provide, Abram was doubtful, unsure, fearful even. It is into this moment where God says those four simple words that saturate the Bible. "I don't know where I'm going. Do not be afraid. I don't know how I will get there. Do not be afraid. I have no future. Do not be afraid." It is with the assurance from God that Abram believed, that Sarai came to believe, and they continued to follow the path to which they had been called. But those concerns sound familiar, don't they? The anxiety that we see in Abram here is similar to the anxiety that we feel at different times in our lives. The anxiety that many of us have been struggling with over the last few months, and as we look forward to the months ahead. It is the anxiety that we as a church feel as we face our own future in the rest of 2020 and beyond. To Abram, God says, "Do not be afraid." And as we read and hear these words, it is like we are eavesdropping on a conversation, but one that we were meant to hear. Because God is speaking as much to us as to Abram, or to anyone to whom God says, "Do not be afraid." And to be honest, we need to hear this. Because being afraid, living in fear, isn't just a terrible way to live, it's exhausting. Like the pandemic, we have spent months, 6 months, almost 7 months, anxious about going outside, anxious about people we meet at the grocery store. And to be fair, that anxiety was not just rooted in fear for our own lives, but a more communal fear of the number of infected rising. But while a lot of us live in hope and optimism, I like to think I'm an optimistic guy, we remind one another that we will get through this. If we work together, if we keep each other safe, despite that optimism, there has been a background fear floating just under the surface, sometimes rising to prominence as it has this past week. A second wave, or rather the threat of a second wave. Because fear is a funny thing, not funny ha-ha, but interesting. It cannot sustain itself if we're forced to look at it. Eventually, the thing that we are afraid of, that we've been forced to stare at, will lose its effect, its power, because when you stare at something long enough, you start to understand it. The virus is very much like that. It took us, a lot of us, unawares. People got sick. People died. People are still dying. But over the past 6 months, we've begun to understand how it transmits. We've learned practices to discourage the spreading, and while it is still something that we should be wary of, cautious of, it doesn't have our pulse racing like a thriller movie. And that is where fear can get its sustained strength, not in the constant presence of a thing, but in the knowledge that the thing waits around every corner. That's where the looming second wave has been for a lot of people, a constant threat of something waiting around the corner to jump out at us. Even now, with so many places declaring that the second wave is upon us, we wait in anxiety because we worry and fear that it will be worse than the first one. Even into this looming and unpredictable threat, God says to us, as was said so many times before, do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. Let those words wash over you. We should remember that even though it feels like it sometimes, we are not alone. Even in our anxiety or in fighting that which brings us fear, we are not alone. God is with us, yes, but countless others in the city, in this country, and in this world are struggling with the same fears, fighting the same virus. Rarely throughout the course of human history have we as a world been so affected. And there are other fears, more long-term fears that we're dealing with, that we are dealing with as a community of faith, and not just because of COVID-19. We've been wondering and worrying for a long time about who we will be, if we will be, in 10 years, 5 years, 1 year. Uncertainty abounds in the life of being a community of faith. The world has changed from the heyday of the church in luxury and full pews, full offering plates, but that does not mean that we are the church in destitution. We are the church in changing times. And we have been for a while. For the last century, the world has been changing at an exponential rate, and we have been trying to anchor it, trying to grab onto something solid to make the world stop and hear us again. But the world is fluid. It's on the move. Trying to anchor it will only have us sinking. We don't want to change with the world, because if we do, we're afraid that we'll lose ourselves, that we'll fade away. And it is into that anxiety of the church fading into obscurity that God once again says, do not be afraid. Because we do have an anchor that grounds us, one that will allow us to know what our center is and work from it, whatever shape our church may take. Jesus Christ, his love, compassion, his mission, are the center of who we are as a people. And once we realize that again, and yes, we as a church need to realize that again, we can start to see the way before us brighten and reveal itself. The church, much as we want it to be, is not the hymns that we love or the pews that we cherish. The church is how we respond to Christ's call to serve the world. We just have to find our way of answering that call. Figure out why we are the church so that we can start being the church again, even, yes, even in the midst of a pandemic. That might be the most frightening and most fulfilling piece of all. So to us, as we face our future, God says those four simple yet powerful words. And I say powerful because behind them is the weight of a promise from our divine parent. A promise that we are not alone on our journeys. Just as Abram and Sarai were not alone. It is a promise that while God won't keep us from pain, the pain that comes with living our lives, God will hold us through it, offering us strength and courage to face whatever may come. It is a promise that while the shape of tomorrow is uncertain, what is certain is that it will come and that we will face it with God, with Christ, with the Holy Spirit, with one another. Into that, God says, do not be afraid. Amen.